Hey, well, welcome everyone. It's good to see all of you. Just want to mention that it's really been great for me to go through the Gospel of Mark. I've learned some things. Hopefully you've learned some things. And we're going to complete tonight by looking at a couple of sections in Mark 14, a short little phrase, really, in Mark 15. And if we have time, we'll close out with a little bit of Mark chapter 16. The first story I want us to look at is a beautiful story that has so much meaning to it. And it's the story of the anointing of Jesus in Bethany. So I'll read the text and then make a few comments. Okay. Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. As he was reclining to eat a meal, a woman approached him with an alabaster jar filled with a costly perfume oil, genuine nard. Breaking open the alabaster jar, she poured the oil over his head. Some of those present became angry and said to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? This perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii. That's a year's salary. And the money given to the poor." They were scolding the woman, but Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you bother with her? She has performed a beautiful deed for me. You always have the poor with you. When you wish, you are able to do good for them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could for me. She has anointed my body in anticipation of my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever in the whole world the good news of the gospel is preached by heralds of the king, what this woman has done will be retold in her memory." So a few notes about this passage. In the ministry of Jesus, women played a very pivotal role. We know that throughout the Gospel of Mark, they've not really been major characters like Peter, James, and John that you see all over the pages. But every time we've met a woman, whether it be the Syrophoenician woman or the woman with the two mites, or now this woman, they outshine some of the major characters because of their faith. And although this is a minor character as far as the time that she's in the text, it's only this one spot right here, she's a major character in what she does for Jesus. And that's one of the themes in the Gospel of Mark is that the minor characters play a major role. And honestly, that's the way it should be. And you look in the church today, what we could say is there are no minor characters in God's eyes. Because everybody in God's eyes has a major role to play. And so in literature, we talk about minor characters and major characters. But in the sight of God, there are no minor characters. Everyone has a major role with God. And so in this story, we have this woman who has major faith. And that's what God is really looking for. She's anonymous. We do not know her name. She, in this story, seems to be the only person to really understand what Jesus is about to go through. And she acts, she does something. Whereas the disciples, if they did understand, they didn't do anything. So they were holding back, but she did something. She makes a sacrifice for the person who's about to sacrifice himself for the world. And this speaks volumes about her faith and her love. So much so that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about her and what she did. And 2,000 years later, Jesus promised that wherever the gospel goes, this story is going to be told, and it's still told. In fact, it's in all four of the gospels. That's how important this story is. So that shows us that one person can really make a difference. So now we're in Bethany, and it's Thursday. And Jesus is going to be crucified on Friday, of course, and then Saturday in the tomb, Sunday come back from the dead. If Bethany was just beyond the Mount of Olives, just on the backside of the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem, and a group of men are gathered around Jesus for an evening meal. They're in the house of Simon the leper. We assume that Simon has been healed of leprosy or no one would be there because it was a very contagious disease. But even the fact that the text calls him a leper shows that that stigma continued with him. But here's the thing, Jesus doesn't care about stigmas. Jesus doesn't care about those type of social distinctions. Jesus is going to help people that need help. The fact that he's a healed leper also means that he's part of the disenfranchised. That's okay with Jesus as well. Those were his people. So Jesus is with them. They're about to recline to eat. So you, basically, if you get the picture here, and I think Mark is like a movie, you've got to try to just see it like a movie happening. And here you have a room full of men that are around the table. They're going to recline to eat because that was the custom. So they're all looking for their places to eat. And in this room full of men, all of a sudden, a woman enters the circle. And she shouldn't really be there, but she doesn't care because she's come to see Jesus. And it doesn't matter what people might think. It doesn't matter what people might say. She's going to see Jesus regardless, which is a great heart. And it's a challenge for my heart. Do I have that heart about Jesus that I'm just going to push through and see him no matter what people may say? That's the type of heart that this woman had. So she's basically an outsider in this circle of men pushing inside in order to be able to see Jesus and be with Jesus. Now, here's the thing. There's certain assumptions that people make about this woman. You might have heard that she was a prostitute. You might have heard her connected with Mary Magdalene, which isn't really said here or anywhere. But the fact that she's called a prostitute by many people is something outside the text. The text does not say that. Instead, the text just says she comes to Jesus with this costly perfume and anoints him. So some people infer from that costly perfume that she was a prostitute because that might be used in her business. But, and I want you to hear this. That's the kind of stigma that has been put on people for so long, and especially on women, that is just wrong. It's just wrong to take the details of the story and to go there with it. And how often does that happen in history? And how often does that happen even today? That people, because of maybe one detail, people jump some and label them. And we don't know how this woman made her money. This was a costly investment that she made to honor Jesus. What she sacrificed was a year's wage. Imagine spending a year's wage in one beautiful act for God. That's what she does. But we don't know how she got that money. It's very likely that she could have been a businesswoman. It's very likely that she could have been a widow and her husband left her this money. Or she could have just simply been from a wealthy family. We know that at least one of the women who helped support the ministry of Jesus, that she was from a very wealthy family. And so maybe that's the case with this woman. But it's wrong to put a stigma on her when the stigma is not there in the Bible. Now, she goes to Jesus and she anoints him with this oil. And the oil that she anoints him with is specifically oil that's used to honor people. The fact is that Jesus himself says, she has anointed me looking for my burial or anticipation of my burial. And here's the thing I want you to see about this woman, and this is what's so fascinating to me, that of all the people that are there, and all the disciples around Jesus, and everyone who's heard Jesus predict his death, burial, and resurrection, she's the only one that really gets it. Out of everybody, she's the only one that really understands it.